Welcome back to Speaking of Mysteries. This is Nancy Clare, and this week is the second of the episodes recorded at the Los Angeles Times Festival of Books and features two interviews, one with Stuart Woods, who's just released Carnal Curiosity, is currently number one on the New York Times bestseller list, and Lee Goldberg, who is no stranger to the New York Times bestseller list himself, most recently with The Heist and The Chase, both written with Janet Ivanovich. First up is Lee, interviewed by Les Klinger.
This is Les Klinger. I'm here with Lee Goldberg at the Los Angeles Times Festival of Books. We're speaking to you live from the Sisters in Crime Los Angeles chapter booth. Lee, welcome.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. I can't believe the size of the audience you have. There must be 600-700 people here.
Absolutely. Radio does this.
Let's ask everyone to please be quiet. Les and I are talking.
So, Lee, I wanted to talk about a couple of things. First of all, you have just come off a book tour. Your co-author, Janet Ivanovich, and you.
I think she has a bright future. I've been carrying her along, but I think pretty soon she's ready to go off on her own and make a big success out of herself. She's really talented. She's not going to need me much longer.
Well, that's good to know, because we need more authors in the world, and she's got kind of a catchy name, and Lee Goldberg is everywhere already, so you certainly don't need the help at this point. It's one of those books where we go to the supermarket, we go to the airports, there's the damn book.
It's astonishing. I'm being stalked by myself. Everywhere I go, I'm seeing copies of The Chase and The Heist. I love it. I love it. It's a dream come true from when I was a kid that I would go everywhere and see my own book. The last time this happened was actually, I don't want to tell you how many years ago, but quite a while ago when I wrote my first book, 357 Vigilante by Ian Ludlum. So I'd be on the shelf next to Robert Ludlum. That book was everywhere. It was at Finer, Safeways, 7-Elevens, and gas stations all around the country, especially near military bases and strip clubs.
I know the feeling slightly. I saw one of my books in an airport, and I was so excited. And it was the one and only time. It was Dracula. It was Halloween. Somebody put it up. What the heck? Will you be doing another?
Oh, yeah. We've done two already, The Heist and The Chase. And right now I'm in the midst of writing The Job with Janet, and that'll be out in November. And we have one more book in our contract, but considering how well the first two have done, I suspect we'll be doing more.
Just like Ellery Queen, you and Janet.
I hope we're a little more contemporary and edgy than Ellery Queen.
So let's talk about your new venture, which is not a writing venture, but a publishing venture.
You know, if you told me I'd be publishing books as recently as 6 months ago, I would have said you're out of your mind. But
So how did this come about?
I mean, well, my good friend Joel Goldman, who's a best-selling author of legal thrillers, and I have had considerable success self-publishing our out-of-print backlists, much to our own surprise and shock, and I've also established a pretty strong relationship with Amazon, and everywhere we go, people are always asking Joel and I, how do you do it? Can I buy you a cup of coffee and have you tell me how to do it so I can do it for my backlist? And plus, Joel and I have been frustrated because a lot of the authors we just love are not available as ebooks. So we decided, why don't we bring these books back ourselves? We know a lot of authors who don't have the skills or the time to bring back their own backlist. We can do it for them. And there are so many influential, award-winning, acclaimed novels that had a big impact on our careers and the careers of other mystery writers we know that are out of print that we'd love to bring back. So we started this company called Brash Books because we publish the best crime novels in existence. A brash claim, but we think we back it up with the books that we're publishing by guys like Dallas Murphy and Dick Lotke and Jack Lynch and Marvin Albert and Maxine O'Callaghan and Noreen Ayers.
People who are actually alive.
Well, Marvin Albert isn't alive and Jack Lynch isn't alive, but all the rest are. And we have a lot more authors we can't talk about just yet because we're still negotiating our deals, but the books are coming out. Our first 30 books are coming out in September, and then we'll be publishing about 8 or 9 books a quarter after that in an exclusive arrangement with Amazon, which is very excited about the venture and is going to be helping us to promote and get the word out about the books.
Are these going to be eventually print as well?
Well, they'll be printed at the same time. Beautiful paperback editions. We're not marketing these as vintage books or pulp novels. We aren't doing the hard case crime prologue approach. We're putting these out there like Sue Grafton novels. I mean, Sue Grafton's books take place in the 1980s, but they're not vintage. They're contemporary best-selling novels. So we are positioning these books as contemporary, fantastic, cutting-edge tales that just happen to take place in 1970, 1990, the early 2000s, in some cases the 60s and the 50s. But they're great books that were at the ahead of their time at the time they came out, and they're still ahead of their time.
Are there going to be new stories, new material?
Yes. One of the authors we're publishing, Tom Kokonis, who did Michigan Roll and Double Down and Shadow Counter and Crisscross, we're bringing back his entire backlist, but also a brand new novel called Treasure Coast, which is wonderful. It's it's very much Elmore Leonard-esque, sort of Elmore Leonard meets Carl Hyacin with a touch of Cormac McCarthy. And we have a couple other original novels coming as well, but I can't talk about them quite yet.
So you got tired of being an exploitee, and now you're an exploiter.
Well, we're treating authors the way we want to be treated, the way we like to be treated. And to be honest, I've learned a lot by the way Amazon Publishing has treated their authors. They've just been a dream imprint to work with, and we're taking a lot of their advice or their example in how we're treating authors.
But you spent a lot of your career writing for television and showrunning for television. How does that inform your fiction?
I think my fiction is fast-moving. I think it's exposition-like. I tend to write in the four-act structure as if I were writing an episode of a TV show. I cut anything that's extraneous. If it doesn't reveal character or push the plot forward, it's out. So I think my books have a narrative engine of the kind you'd find in a good TV show.
We should also mention tie-ins, something that you have taken to heart and formed an organization for,
yeah,
and many things. But so again, it's sort of a different approach. It's not television. Somebody hands you some characters.
Well, tie-ins, it's interesting about tie-ins. Tie-ins are among the most successful area of publishing. They reap huge amounts of money to the publishers, and yet they're treated like softcore porn by writing organizations and by critics and by the very publishers that publish them, and they're making so much money off the backs of these tie-in novels. I mean, if you look at Star Wars and Star Trek and Buffy the Vampire Slayer and so many others that have been cash cows for publishers. So Max Allen Collins and I created an organization 7-8 years ago called the International Association of Media Tie-In Writers to acknowledge the work of tie-in authors and award excellence in the tie-in field and to demystify the process and to bring in a little respect. I don't know how far we've succeeded, but we've certainly made an effort. I've written 15 Monk tie-ins, 8 Diagnosis Murder tie-ins. What's unique about the tie-ins I do is, unlike most tie-in authors who have no connection to the material besides being hired to write books based on it, these are all shows that I worked on. I mean, Diagnosis Murder, I was the executive producer. On Monk, I was a freelance writer for the show. So I had a connection to the program. I wasn't coming at it as an outsider. So I had a unique experience creatively as well. Basically, I did whatever I wanted. I wasn't answerable to the licensing executives at the studios the way most tie-in authors are.
So let's talk for a second about the festival. This is your umpteenth
time
at the festival. Why do you come? What draws you?
To be honest, I rarely attend the panel discussions. I come to do podcasts with Les Klinger. I mean, I come to see old friends, to talk shop with fellow authors, to meet new authors and new readers, and to buy lots of books. I make lots of trips back to my car with purchases.
Well, places like Sisters in Crime appreciates that, I'm sure.
Yes.
So, and we're also being partly sponsored by the Mystery Ink bookstore, so come on down and buy some of their books as well. Lee, it's been great to have you on the show.
My pleasure.
We'll do it again.
I look forward to it. I'll come next year just for this.
Great. Thanks.
Next is my interview with Stuart Woods. Although he's written more than 55 mysteries, my first question had to be about the Cessna Citation jet that he and his wife, Jean-Marie, who also is a licensed jet pilot, fly around the world. Please excuse the ambient noise. It was not a very recording-friendly moment. Stuart shared a bit about his writing process and went on to tease his fans about the next 3 books that are due out: Cut and Thrust, out this summer, Paris Match in the autumn, and Severed Artery in January of 2015. Here's Stuart Woods. Welcome back to Speaking of Mysteries. I'm at the Los Angeles Times Festival of Books with Mr. Stuart Woods, with more than 50 mysteries to his credit, and many more, hopefully, to come.
Let's hope.
The most recent is Carnal Curiosity, and I have so many questions about the book and about Stone Barrington, but what I really want to talk about is the citation.
Okay. I'd love to talk about that.
What I really want to talk about is your airplane.
Well, this is my co-pilot here, my wife, Jean-Marie.
We
take turns being pilot in command.
My next question is, what was the colorway you chose for the plane? And is it the 4-seat or 5-seat configuration?
It's a 7-seat configuration, if you use the toilet as the 7-seat, which is a legal seat. It has a seat belt and everything. But we rarely travel with more than a couple of other people.
I guess that's just the way to travel, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And so you both have pilot's licenses.
And Jean-Marie's got her jet pilot's rating after only 18 months of training.
Well, you're a handy friend to have. I read Carnal Curiosity, and I read about Stone Barrington, and he is definitely the most interesting man in the world.
Well, thank you. He would be modest if he said that to him, but I make him as interesting as I know how.
I mean, he has to be the best friend you could possibly have in New York, especially if you got into a jam.
I suppose he would be useful in those circumstances.
I mean, he's a lawyer who's a former police detective who's friends with people that are high up in the police department and who happens to know people at the CIA and probably the NSA for when things get really, really tough.
Some people in the NSA know who he is, but he doesn't know who they are.
Yeah, we learned that in the last book. And is that story arc going to continue, you think, into the next book?
I don't know, because I make it up as I go along.
Most of the stories have their story arc in New York. They either start or finish. They may go elsewhere.
No, they have taken place in Los Angeles, in Paris, in London, and in various other places, Key West. He gets around.
All places.
He flies the citation.
He flies the citation.
Weirdly enough, he seems to follow me in my airplane. He chooses the same ones.
Stone Barrington is not your only series. You have another series.
I have half a dozen series. However, when my publisher asked me to write a fourth novel a year, he offered me money to make them all Stone Barrington novels. But I tricked him. What he really means is he wants it to say on the cover, a Stone Barrington novel. But I tricked him by bringing all the other characters into the Stone Barrington novels. As far as I'm concerned, all the characters in all my books exist in a parallel universe, and they're all contemporaneous, and they, except for the ones in the 20s and the 40s, and they, I look in on them now and then to see how they're doing. They're not aware of me, but I'm very much aware of them. So it's easy enough to get Ed Eagle into New York and have him interact with Stone in some way, or vice versa. Stone is more likely to go to Santa Fe.
In keeping all your characters straight in the line, do you have a board in your office?
The only board I have is inside my head. So
you keep all the characters.
They're real people to me. You know, I just look in on them now. So I don't have any trouble remembering who they are. Although sometimes I get the names mixed up, but my editor is supposed to catch them.
You've got 50. More than 50 mystery novels. You didn't start out writing mystery novels.
I'm my statistician. Are we 55 now? Is that 55. This is the 55.
Novels.
55 novels.
Yeah, and the other two.
You started out in nonfiction. You started out with a book about sailing. You see here.
I started with a sailing book, which was a memoir, and then a travel book. But I began the first novel before those things. Those were just an excuse not to write the novel. It took me 8 years to wrestle it to the ground. You know.
And it got easier after that?
or less difficult.
It got less difficult.
Do you know Marit?
And confidence is a great thing.
And
after 20 or 30 of them, now I write. It used to take me 4 hours to write a chapter. I did a chapter in a day, but it took me 4 hours. Now I can do that in under an hour.
Wow.
And so that's how I can write four novels.
Whenever we're trying to...
Do you want to talk about what you're working on now?
Well, I just finished a book.
John is here.
There are now.
I ran all the way.
Let's see, there are two or there are two. Oh, there are always two novels in the game. Going through the publishing process, it takes about 9 months to publish one. So I've just finished one, which means I'm about to start another one. I have no idea where that will take place. Or
who's going to be in it? Or
I know some, who's going to be in it, but I just don't know what the complications are going to be yet.
Well, I mean, that's generally a question that happens in panels. People get up and ask, especially mystery writers, do you have an idea of the crime, the perpetrator, and the solution when you sit down to start? And I guess from our brief conversation, you do not.
Well, no, I don't begin with a crime. I begin with a situation. I write a scene, which becomes the first chapter. And then the following day, I read what I wrote and I make small corrections to it. And that slingshots me into the next chapter. And on each of those days, I make up what I'm going to do at the moment when I'm sitting there. It's not always on the clock. I may dream about it at night or have an idea that I can use in the next chapter. But when I sit down, I very often don't know what I'm about to write until I write it to the Senate.
You see, to me, Stone is the guy every man wants to be and every woman would like to conquer.
Well, that's wonderful if people think that. Every woman would like to conquer. Oh, gosh, I never thought of it that way, but maybe you're right.
I certainly would like to be right at least once a day. But can you share anything about the two that are in the can?
One of them is called Paris Match, or Paris Match, if you want to use the question. Almost entirely in France, in Paris. And the one I just finished, which is called The Severed Artery.
My sister-in-law came by and I wasn't expecting.
And then you have Cut and Thrust.
Oh, yes, Cut and Thrust. So there are now three completions.
And will they be released in that order?
Cut
and Thrust comes out this summer. Barry Match will be out in the autumn, and then next January.
Severed arteries. Well, it sounds like a bloody good time.
Well, thank you.
Les and I are off to New York this week to attend the Edgar Award banquet on Thursday, May 1st. If you get a chance, visit the Mystery Writers of America website to see the nominees. You'll see some familiar names: Thomas H. Cook, Matt Haig, William Kent Kruger, Louise Penny, Ian Rankin, and Laurie Roy are all nominated for Best Novel. And in the Best First Novel, nominees are names that are sure to become familiar: Matthew Gwine, Roger Hobbs, Becky Masterman, Jason Matthews, and Kimberly McCrate. Les and I are going to talk to as many writers as we can corner and get them on the show. Next week's episode is the third installment recorded at the LA Times Festival of Books and will feature interviews with April Smith and Stephen J. Schwartz. Until then, this is Nancy Clare at Speaking of Mysteries.